the great state of California. How do you cast your vote?
My name's Governor Gavin Newsom. From the great state of Nancy Pelosi. I come from a state, like our nation, of dreamers, of doers, of entrepreneurs, of innovators, that prides itself on being on the leading and cutting edge of new ideas. California is the most diverse state in the world's most diverse democracy. And we pride ourselves on our ability to live together and advance together and prosper together across every conceivable and imaginable difference. But the thing we pride ourselves most on is that we believe the future happens in California first. And Democrats, I've had the privilege for over 20 years to see that future taking shape. With a star in Alameda courtroom by the name of Kamala Harris. I saw that star fighting for criminal justice, racial justice, economic justice, social justice. I saw that star get even brighter as Attorney General of California, as a United States Senator, and as Vice President of the United States of America. Kamala Harris has always done the right thing. A champion for voting rights, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, the rights for women and girls. So Democrats and independents, it's time for us to do the right thing. And that is to elect Kamala Harris as the next president of the United States of America. California, we proudly cast our 482 votes for the next president, Kamala Harris.
To everyone who participated in our celebratory roll call. Delegates, please know how critical you are to this process, both now and earlier this month when we conducted our virtual roll call. I am thrilled to reaffirm Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. Pursuant to the convention rules of procedure, Vice President Kamala Harris has been invited to make an acceptance speech, which she will give on Thursday, August 22nd. But now, a special surprise. It's my pleasure to introduce our party's official nominee for President of the United States, live from my home state of Wisconsin, Vice President Kamala Harris.
Chicago. The delegates at the Democratic National Convention, well, they just completed their roll call. And they have nominated Coach Walz and me to be the next Vice President and President of the United States of America. Thank everyone there and here for believing in what we can do together. We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign, and together we will chart a new way forward. A future for freedom, opportunity of optimism and faith. So to everyone in Chicago and across America, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you're going to hear from our wonderful second gentleman shortly. I'll see you in 2 days, Chicago.
Please welcome TV personality, loud and proud Latina, Ana Navarro.
Buenas noches, Chicago. So tell me, are you excited? Wow, what energy, what a moment. I have to tell you, I will never stop being the little refugee girl who came to this country at the age of 8. Thank you for inviting me to be here. Welcome to the second night of the Democratic National Convention. Let me tell you about the Kamala Harris I know. She is legitimately a joyful, optimistic leader. She cares about policy, yes, but she also cares about people and how that policy affects real people, not just the members of Mar-a-Lago. And you know what else? Kamala Harris, she likes dogs. And my dog, Cha-Cha, likes her. Dogs are good judges of character. So are cats. We cannot elect a president who does not like dogs or hangs around with people who shoot them. Now, let's be serious. Donald Trump and his minions call Kamala a communist. I know communism. I fled communism from Nicaragua when I was 8 years old. I don't take it lightly. And let me tell you what communist dictators do. And it's never just for one day. They attack the free press. They call them the enemy of the people, like Ortega does in Nicaragua. They put their unqualified relatives in cushy government jobs so they can get rich of their positions, like the Castros do in Cuba. And they refuse to accept legitimate elections when they lose and call for violence to stay in power, like Maduro is doing right now in Venezuela. Now, you tell me something. Do any of those things sound familiar? Is there anybody running for president who reminds you of that? And I know one thing, it's not Kamala Harris. That is not the America we love. It's not the land of freedom we treasure. Last night, we heard President Biden say that he loves his job, but he loves his country more. Every American needs to love our country more. Every American has the duty to put our country first. Country first before party. Country first before political ambition. Country first before habit. And in this election, putting country first means one thing and one thing only: voting for Kamala Harris. And that is what this night is about. That is what we're going to talk about tonight. So you know what? Let's get it started. Let's get this fiesta going.
Good
The ayes are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the nomination is confirmed. And the concurrent resolution as amended is adopted. The Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the motion to proceed is agreed to. On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
It is my honor to present the Golden Gavel to Vice President Harris, 32 tie-breaking votes.
Please welcome Senate Majority Leader and New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Everybody, wasn't that a great roll call? Now just let me hear you. If you're ready for President Kamala Harris. Friends, we're here to talk about one thing tomorrow and building a better tomorrow for all Americans. This November, we can choose a brighter, a fairer, a freer future, or we can relive the dark night of Trump's American carnage. Only one candidate will move America forward, Kamala Harris. Vice President Harris has been the best partner Senate Democrats could ever have asked for. Under her and President Biden's leadership, Senate Democrats lowered prescription drug prices and created millions of good-paying American jobs. I worked with Kamala Harris when she was Senator Harris. I saw a leader who was fearless, who stood up for middle-class families like the one she was raised in, who focused on things that really mattered, helping parents raise their kids, safe neighborhoods, safe schools, and building an opportunity economy that gives everyone a shot at the American dream. She will lead America forward into a brighter future, but she can't do it alone. She needs a Democratic majority in the Senate of the United States. Now, my friends, two years ago, the naysayers said Senate Democrats should stood no chance in the midterms. I told them, just you wait. We're going to keep the Senate and maybe pick up a seat or two. And that's exactly what happened. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my good friends at this convention, I am telling all of you now, we're going to hold the Senate again, and we're poised to pick up seats. A Democratic majority to create good-paying jobs and lower costs, to defend a woman's right to choose, to deliver for communities back home. Our senators are doing it, like Jackie Rosen, delivering high-speed rail for Nevada. John Tester, bringing high-tech jobs to Montana. And Bobby Casey and Sherrod Brown and Tammy Baldwin and Martin Heinrich, fixing bridges in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin and New Mexico. We also have amazing candidates. Ruben Gallego, Angela Alsobrooks, Andy Kim, Alyssa Slotkin, Lisa Blunt, Rochester, Colin Allred, Debbie Mucarcel Powell, and folks, listen to this. More than half of our candidates are candidates of color. We're making the Senate look like America. Now let's compare that with Senate Republicans. Senate Republicans pretend to care about middle-class families, but they voted no on expanding the child tax credit, and J.D. Vance didn't even show up to vote. Senate Republicans pretend to care about the border, but they voted no on the strongest border bill in a decade. Republicans tend to care about freedom, but they voted no on a woman's right to choose. No to safeguard IVF. No to birth control. That is just a taste of their extreme agenda. Is that what we want for America? Do we want a Republican Senate that assaults reproductive freedoms? Do we want a Republican Senate that cuts taxes for the rich, rigs the game for big oil and big pharma? Well, folks, the choice is ours. Now, let me close on a personal note. As the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in American history, I want my grandkids and all grandkids to never, never face discrimination because of who they are. But Donald Trump, this is a guy who peddles anti-Semitic stereotypes. He even invited a white supremacist to Mar-a-Lago. And unfortunately, his prejudice goes in all directions. He fuels Islamophobia and issued a Muslim ban as president. Tonight, folks, I am wearing this blue square to stand up to anti-Semitism, to stand up to all hate. Our children, our grandchildren, no matter their race, no matter their creed, their gender or family, deserve better than Donald Trump's American carnage. So, are you ready to make sure Donald Trump never, ever gets near the White House again? So let's elect Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and a Democratic majority in the Senate, and keep the torch of freedom burning bright for generations to come. On to victory in November.
Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy. I will take on the high costs that matter most to most Americans. Compare my plan with what Donald Trump intends to do. He wants to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products and basic necessities that we import from other countries. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. He wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which 45 million Americans rely on for health care. He plans to give billionaires massive tax cuts year after year, and he plans to cut corporate taxes by over $1 trillion. That if you want to know who someone cares about, look who they fight for. We capped the price of insulin at $35 a month and the total cost of prescription drugs at $2,000 a year for seniors. And just yesterday, we announced that we are lowering the price for 10 more life-saving drugs.
As president, I will work to build the housing we need. And by the end of my first term, we will end America's housing shortage by building 3 million new homes and rentals that are affordable for the middle class. More than 100 million Americans will get a tax cut by restoring the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit, through which millions of Americans with children got to keep more of their hard-earned income. We will provide $6,000 in tax relief to families during the first year of a child's life. Now is the time to chart a new way forward. I will fight to give money back to working and middle-class Americans. Increase the security and stability financially of your family and expand opportunity for working and middle-class Americans.
Please welcome Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
Thank you. Thank you. My fellow Americans, it is an honor. It is an honor to be with you tonight because we're laying the groundwork for Kamala Harris to become our next president. And let me tell you why that is so important. I want you all to remember where we were 3.5 years ago. We were in the midst of the worst public health crisis in 100 years and the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. 3,000 Americans were dying every day, and our hospitals were overwhelmed with COVID patients. All across the country, businesses were shutting down. Unemployment was soaring. Workers were losing their health insurance. Schools were closing. State and city budgets were running out of money. People were being evicted from their homes. Children in America were going hungry. That was the reality the Biden-Harris administration faced as they entered the Oval Office. A nation suffering, a nation frightened, and people looking to their government for support. And within 2 months of taking office, our government did respond. We passed the American Rescue Plan, which provided $1,400 for every man, woman, and child in the working class. We extended and expanded benefits for the unemployed. We provided emergency assistance for small businesses to stay open. We guaranteed health care coverage to tens of millions of Americans through one of the largest expansions of Medicaid in history. We provided rent relief and mortgage assistance, which prevented tenants and homeowners from being evicted. We established emergency food programs for hungry children and the elderly, and protected the pensions of millions of union workers and retirees from being slashed by up to 65%.
Oh, and by the way, we cut childhood poverty by over 40% through an expanded child tax credit. Thank you, President Biden. Thank you, Vice President Harris. Thank you, Democratic Congress. Now, I say all of this not to relive that difficult moment, but to make one simple point. When the political will is there, government can effectively deliver for the people of our country. And now we need to summon that will again, because too many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need. Brothers and sisters, bottom line, we need an economy that works for all of us, not just the billionaire class. My fellow Americans, when 60% of our people live paycheck to paycheck, the top 1% have never, ever had it so good. And these oligarchs tell us we shouldn't tax the rich. The oligarchs tell us we shouldn't take on price gouging. We shouldn't expand Medicare to cover dental, hearing, and vision. And we shouldn't increase Social Security benefits for struggling seniors. Well, I've got some bad news for them. That is precisely what we are going to do. And we're going to win this struggle because this is precisely what the American people want from their government. And my friends, at the very top of that to-do list is the need to get big money out of our political process. Billionaires in both parties should not be able to buy elections, including primary elections. For the sake of our democracy, we must overturn the disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And move toward public funding of elections. And let me tell you what else we must do. We need to join the rest of the industrialized world and guarantee health care to all people as a human right, not a privilege. We need to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. We need to pass the PRO Act so that workers can organize in unions and gain the decent pay and benefits they deserve. We need to strengthen public education, raise teachers' salaries, and make sure that every American, regardless of income, receives the higher education he or she needs. We need to take on Big Pharma and cut our prescription drug costs in half so that we no longer pay any more than other countries. Joe and Kamala made sure that no senior in America pays over $35 a month for insulin. We need to make sure that reality is true for every American. I look forward to working with Kamala and Tim to pass this agenda. And let us be very clear. This is not a radical agenda. But let me tell you what a radical agenda is. And that is Trump's Project 2025. At a time of massive income and wealth inequality, giving more tax breaks to billionaires is radical. Putting forth budgets to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is radical. Letting polluters destroy our planet is radical. And my friends, we won't let that happen. Fellow Americans, in the last 3.5 years, working together, we have accomplished more than any government since FDR. But much, much more remains to be done. We must summon the courage to stand up to wealth and power and deliver justice for people at home and abroad. Abroad, we must end this horrific war in Gaza. Bring home the hostages and demand an immediate ceasefire. At home right here, we must take on Big Pharma, Big Oil, Big Ag, Big Tech, and all the other corporate monopolists whose greed is denying progress for working people. On November 5th, let us elect Kamala Harris as our president, and let us go forward to create the nation we know we can become. Thank you all very much.
Please welcome Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Fellow Democrats, welcome to Chicago! American city in a proud blue state. Our patriotism was formed in frost and in fire and in the steel we forged to survive both. Our love of country has been a tapestry of faith that weaves from Abraham Lincoln reuniting a house divided to Barack Obama declaring blue states and red states make one United States. Now, Illinois' presidential pedigree is unmatched. And given that Vice President Kamala Harris spent some of her early life right here, I speak for the entire Illinois delegation when I say, we claim her too! Now, one president we will never claim is the con artist the Republicans nominated in Milwaukee last month. Donald Trump once called Chicago embarrassing. To quote a great Chicagoan who won 6 world championships on these very grounds, we take that personally. I had to govern for 2 years while Trump was president. Let me tell you what's embarrassing. In Illinois, we passed a massive bill to fix our roads and bridges. When Donald Trump proposed his own plan, he turned right around and called it stupid. We eliminated the grocery tax. Donald hasn't been in a grocery store since his first bankruptcy. Illinois invested in clean energy and the jobs it brings. Donald claimed that windmills in the ocean made the whales a little batty. During COVID, we supported small businesses and jobs. And Donald? Well, Donald told us to inject bleach. Donald Trump thinks that we should trust him on the economy because he claims to be very rich. But take it from an actual billionaire. Trump is rich in only one thing, stupidity. Now, I meet with business leaders all the time, and there's one universal thing they all need: people. They need more workers to fill all the jobs they have. But the anti-freedom, anti-family policies of MAGA Republicans are driving workers away. Here's the thing. Americans don't want to be forced to drive 100 miles to deliver a baby because a draconian abortion law shut down the maternity ward. Americans want the hope of giving birth through IVF, not the fear that it might be taken away. Americans with LGBTQ kids don't want them facing discrimination at school because the state sanctioned it. Americans want to go to their neighborhood grocery store and not have to worry about some random guy open carrying an AR-15. Americans don't want their kids to be taught in history class that slavery was a jobs program. And if Americans are black or brown, they want to get promoted at work without being derided as a DEI hire for the sin of being successful while not white. Let's be clear. It's not woke that limits economic growth. It's weird. And these guys aren't just weird, they're dangerous. Democrats are for lower taxes and higher wages, less inflation and more business growth. We just think it's wrong to craft those policies for Elon Musk and not for everyday working people. That includes a secure retirement and good health care. We think the government should help you prosper, not police who you're sleeping with. More than anything, Democrats want economic policies that are kind, not cruel. But Trump chooses cruelty every time. After all, everything he's achieved in his own life has been by hurting someone else. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, well, they've spent their lives lifting people up, not pushing them down. They know that a White House that leads with kindness looks at someone who is struggling and sees not what they might cost society, but what they might create for it. Americans want policies that give every American a chance to make it to the middle class. They want to grow small businesses, and Democrats want to cut taxes for everyday people. More than anything, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want a country where we can all live with a little serenity. The serenity that comes with a balanced checkbook, an affordable grocery bill, and a housing market that has room for everyone. And if there's one thing I know about Donald Trump, he's not bringing anyone any kind of serenity. We have a choice, America, between the man who left our country a total mess and the woman who has spent 4 years cleaning it up. And I think it's time we stop expecting women to clean up messes without the authority and the title to match the job. Vice President was a good title for Kamala Harris, but you know an even better one? President of the United States of America! Let's go get him!
Please welcome former chair and CEO of American Express and current chair and managing director of General Catalyst, Ken Chenault.
My fellow Americans, for 17 years, I ran American Express, one of the greatest companies in this country. America has thousands of great companies, more than any other nation in the world. And that's not by accident. The United States is the best place in the world to do business because of the values on which our country was built. Democracy, the rule of law, free and fair elections, the peaceful transfer of power. As a business leader, I have seen firsthand why democracy is so important. Democracy provides the foundation upon which American business and our economy depend. Character and values matter. In business, nothing is more important than trust. In America, we have to trust our president will protect democracy. We have to be certain they'll follow the law and serve the nation, not themselves. Business requires stability and certainty that our democracy will endure. Our economy and democracy are tightly linked. Both only grow stronger when Americans, despite our differences, are willing to work together. At this moment, when our politics pits one group against another, that's what's remarkable about Kamala Harris. She is for all Americans. She understands it's possible, in fact necessary, for a president to be both pro-business and pro-worker. Kamala Harris understands that government must work in partnership with the business community. She knows that a market-based economy needs a strong and effective government. Kamala Harris understands that we need to help entrepreneurs turn good ideas into thriving companies, that we can create good-paying jobs by helping manufacturers expand. Kamala Harris believes in growing the economic pie for the benefit of current and future generations. Unlike her opponent, she knows the way not to build an advanced economy is a broad tariff that would only raise prices, hurt consumers and businesses, and cost jobs. She knows the way not to do it is to give people like me a tax cut when that money should be invested to grow the middle class. If you want to lead, you have to be willing to serve. Kamala Harris's vision for the economy serves us all. She has demonstrated throughout her career that she wants to serve all people and wants all Americans to have the opportunity to work to achieve their own share of the American dream. Our economy goes up and down, but the reason America is the strongest nation in the world is because of her commitment to something bigger than ourselves, our commitment to each other, to democracy. That's what this election is about. It's more than a choice between two parties or sets of policies. It's a choice about who we're going to be as a country. In his words and actions, Kamala Harris's opponent has shown us that he does not believe in our democratic values, and he will seek only to serve himself and his desire for vindication and vengeance. Kamala Harris will face the facts. She will navigate this country, the greatest country in the world, through the inevitable challenges, while also leading with the hope and values that America was founded on. Kamala Harris understands that the role of a leader is to instill hope, to repudiate the merchants of fear, and focus on ensuring that the best days are ahead of us. She believes in America, its principles, the hopes and dreams of our people, and the promise of our future. That is why I believe Kamala Harris should be the next president of the United States of America. God bless America.
Repeal Obamacare.
Donald Trump over the weekend again threatened to repeal Obamacare.
This would lead to Americans having their health insurance taken away.
There are about 19 million people with coverage through Medicaid expansion, another 16 million enrolled through the ACA's health insurance marketplaces, and we'd probably be talking about many millions of people becoming uninsured.
Biggest worries, losing the safety net of pre-existing conditions coverage.
What happens if you lose this insurance?
Our son would die.
What makes you think this isn't just a hollow threat?
This is one of the few campaign promises that he actually tried very hard to keep. So we better believe him when he says he's coming after this.
Even if you have insurance from your employer, you will be affected because your premiums would be going up.
We're looking at a lot of people who could lose their health insurance.
Please welcome New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham.
Good evening, America. I'm Michelle Lujan Grisham, governor of the great state of New Mexico. And in my state, we like things spicy, a little chili on everything, a little kick in our campaigns, And let me tell you, we are feeling en fuego right now. We are fired up to elect Kamala Harris President of the United States. This election is about protecting our democracy and securing our freedoms, including the right to affordable, quality health care. Now, this issue is personal to Vice President Harris, whose mom passed away after a battle with colon cancer. And it's personal to me. At 2 years old, my sister was diagnosed with a tumor that was incurable and made her uninsurable by the time she was three. And it's personal to Americans across the country who know what it's like when someone they love gets sick. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance want to dismantle our healthcare system, repeal the Affordable Care Act, and eliminate protections for pre-existing conditions. Either these guys don't get it, or they just don't care. You know who gets it? Kamala Harris gets it, and she cares. As Attorney General, she took on drug companies that jacked up prices and hospitals that overcharged patients. And when Republicans tried to kill the Affordable Care Act, she stood up in the Senate, voting not just no, but hell no. And Kamala Harris hasn't just stopped Republicans from making our healthcare system worse. She fights every day to make it better. And I know, I spent 20 years working to get Medicare the ability to negotiate lower drug prices. As Vice President, Kamala Harris delivered it. You know what Donald Trump delivered? Junk plans, higher premiums, and abortion bans. And if you don't think a second term would be worse, then I've got a box of Trump steaks to sell you. We have not just a better choice. America, we have the best choice. Yes, we do. Kamala Harris will protect your right to care. She'll cap drug costs, she'll go after corporate price gougers, and ensure every woman who needs it can access reproductive health care. That's the president I want. And that's the president America needs. And with your help, that's the next president of the United States. President Kamala Harris.
I love you too. Y en español, los quiero. So, my mom, like Kamala's mom, got sick. When my mom died in 2021, Kamala called me. She had lost her mother to cancer in 2009. Kamala helped me navigate my grief. She said that heartbreak and loss are the price for having loved and having been loved. How I wish our mothers could be here to see this moment. In the next 4 years, America will invariably have moments of great sadness and pain in our country. Some will be natural disasters. Some will be man-made disasters. We need a president who can not only be commander-in-chief, but also consoler-in-chief. We need a president with empathy, capable of lifting us up when we are down. We need a president who is capable of holding us in a big, great hug when we need it. That is Kamala Harris. Donald Trump is only capable of holding two things, a grudge and a golf club.
I remember when Kamala was first running for district attorney and people were like, oh, I don't know if she's tough enough. And I just had to laugh because I'm like, you don't know my sister.
Kamala had been a hard and tough prosecutor in Alameda County, prosecuting men who were pimping young girls and rapists.
Kamala wanted to make sure that murderers and child abusers face meaningful accountability and consequences for those actions.
One of the cases that she had early in her career was where a man had scalped his girlfriend, and she ended up getting a conviction, getting justice for that woman.
She came to San Francisco to protect victims, and she was elected to be district attorney of San Francisco. Kamala knew that we needed to be smart on crime, and if hell, no one else was gonna do it, that she was gonna do it.
If I'm gonna keep my promise to you to keep you safe, I better talk with you about what I'm doing in terms of crime prevention. Investing in people coming out of prisons is the smart thing to do for law enforcement. Forget that it's just the right thing to do.
That was a young Kamala Harris. She's only gotten more fierce. I've never seen her back down from a fight, and when she fights, she wins.
When Kamala became Attorney General, she wanted to protect people, but also to fundamentally pursue justice.
Being smart on crime starts with being tough on violent crime.
From a statewide perspective, I think we were concerned about the rise of gang violence.
In San Joaquin County, we saw this tremendous change in our community, and it hit us like a wave. We saw an increase in human trafficking, narcotics, and guns.
Let it be clear to anyone who would menace this state with violence, to those who prey on the weak and the vulnerable, justice will be swift and certain in the state of California.
She was always hunting the kingpins, but we didn't have partnerships with DOJ or FBI or DEA or any of those law enforcement agencies. Now, we all work collaboratively to help all the counties in California. Because of her, we destabilized organized crime, disrupt these flows of guns, human beings, and narcotics.
We are here this afternoon to announce the shutting down of one of the biggest and most organized threats to the safety of the Central Valley.
I really think of her as fearless, as a fighter.
Kamala just perseveres, and mommy would say it's too hard is never an excuse. Making excuses is a failure to not only take responsibility, but to take action. If you have the will, the desire, the passion, the commitment, there is no challenge that is insurmountable.
Please welcome the Democratic nominee for Senate in Maryland, Angela Alsobrooks.
Good evening, America, and hello, Maryland. People like me, thank you. People like me, stories like mine don't usually make it to the United States Senate, but they should. I'm the proud granddaughter
of a housekeeper, Sarah Daisy, who raised her three children in a one-bedroom apartment. It was her dream to work in government to help people. That meant taking a typing test. But she didn't know how to type, and she couldn't afford a typewriter. So she put a white piece of paper on the refrigerator and drew a keyboard on it. And every night, she stood in front of that refrigerator and taught herself to type. She took the test, passed it, and got the job she dreamed of. I am her legacy. And tonight, I am a candidate for United States Senate from the great state of Maryland. I've always been inspired by women like my grandmother, women who imagine a better future and then have the grit to make it a reality. One of those women is a friend, a mentor, and a role model. That woman is Kamala Harris. Let me tell you about the Kamala I've known for 14 years. I first heard about her in 2009 when I was running for state's attorney in Prince George's County, Maryland. I read a story in Essence magazine about a district attorney in San Francisco using new ideas to keep her community safe. Few had a better record prosecuting violent crime. She put rapists, child molesters, and murderers behind bars. But what she knew was that violent crime accounts for about 30% of all crimes. For the 70% that are nonviolent, she created a first-of-its-kind program called Back on Track. After serving time and pleading guilty, these low-level offenders would get the job training, GED help, and apprenticeships they needed to find a job. The result? The recidivism rate plummeted. Now, after reading about this super bad district attorney, I talked nonstop about her on the campaign trail. 2 days after I won the election, my phone rings. It's Kamala Harris calling to congratulate me and ask how she could help. She helped me bring Back on Track to Maryland. And wouldn't you know it, crime went down and economic growth went up. Back on Track is now a national model. Now, Donald Trump says if Kamala Harris is elected, tough guys will treat her like a play toy. Do you know who else thought that? The drug cartels she busted, the big oil companies she made pay for polluting, the big banks that she made pay $20 billion to homeowners they ripped off. Getting justice for others isn't a power trip for her. It's a sacred calling. And hear me, Kamala Harris knows how to keep criminals off the streets. And come November, with your help, she'll keep one out of the Oval Office. Ever since Donald Trump rode down that ridiculous escalator, we as a nation have felt trapped. Every national decision has been made in reaction to this one man and his extremist MAGA movement. We are still frozen by the fear that Donald Trump might once again come to power. And it's not just our politics that have been trapped, it's our imagination. And then Kamala came along. Kamala has reminded us that we don't need to fear anything, not the future, and certainly not that man. This is our moment to leave Donald Trump where he belongs, in America's past. We stand with Kamala Harris because we, as a country, are not going back. For the ancestors who sat at lunch counters